Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, January 20, 2016. Unknown gunmen confiscated the salaries of employees in Budue State during an attack on a government convoy.
Forced the driver to come down and all the passengers who are in the vehicle at a gunpoint. They forced them to bring the bag which was having the full salary of Tombara County. All these salaries, they collected everything. Then they forced them to come to start the movement towards Tombara.
And an opposition party official says the government and the SPLM in opposition must form the transitional government of national unity now.
The leadership are just totally loose, totally concerning about different things, about how to, you know, divide powers. But you can see now, our friends in the SPLM are still taking their time.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Officials in Budue State's Tombara County are investigating the loss of 380,000 South Sudanese pounds, which was supposed to pay the salaries of civil servants, including teachers and nurses. An official in Tombara County says an identified gunman attacked an ambulance that was carrying the money between Bodio and Bikiri River along the Yambio-Tombara Road yesterday. Gift Friday has the story for VOA from Juba.
Local government inspector Thomas Fedrick says the crew carrying the money was ambushed just after leaving Yambio.
They met with a gang on the road having a gun, forced the driver to come down and all the passengers who were in the vehicle. At a gunpoint, they forced them to bring the bag which was having the full salary of Tombara County. All these salaries, they collected everything, then they forced them to come to start the movement towards Tombara.
Fedrick says the money was meant to pay the salaries of county employees working in education, health, agriculture, sanitation, and other sectors. He says the ambulance was carrying the county health director, county cashier, the health department's cashier, and an unidentified passenger. Fedrick says security operatives are questioning the cashiers who transported the money.
They are still under investigation. They investigated them yesterday, and today they are still there. As I'm talking, they are still in police station. And what we did yesterday is only to arrange the security personnel so that they may trace this money out.
County officials have asked security agents to trace the stolen funds. Frederick says a government vehicle used to transport money was recovered from the Aero Boys last week after being stolen in December. The ambulance driver told investigators there were three masked men who took the money at gunpoint. Asked why the county did not simply deposit the salaries in civil servants' bank accounts rather than paying in cash, Frederick said there is no bank in Tombara County. He says the county officials requested that the UN mission in South Sudan transport staff salaries from Yambio to Tombara, but were told that was outside the UNMISS mandate. Frederick said he feels sad for civil servants hoping to use their salaries to take care of their families' needs, who will now have to wait longer to get paid. Tombara County civil servant Henry Zenaro says he didn't expect this to happen.
It's very, very unfortunate for us here. And even now, as a civil servant in some sectors, like in education and health, that needs the service to be rendered to the people. They are lacking salaries. Depending on the economic inflation that is taking place now, the price of the things have gone very high, and the people have no money in the pocket, so it is something very bad for us here.
Zenaro says he and other civil servants are worried about when they will get paid.
And also the state government look into this issue. We are very worried. We don't know whether the government is going to compensate this money, so it is something that is still worrying us.
Rita Luizia, a messenger in the Payam administrator's office, accuses the officials who are transporting the money of being responsible for its loss. Speaking in the Zande language, Luizio says now civil servants will suffer even more.
What is happening is that they have stolen money from us. What shall we do? It has brought poverty on us. We are very poor that we can just die from poverty.
Luisio says now that schools are reopening with a new term, most civil servants won't be able to register their children because their salaries were stolen. She calls on the government to investigate whoever was involved in the transportation of the money. Goodwill State officials could not be reached for comment on this story. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Juba.
A South Sudanese opposition party official is calling on the warring parties to implement the peace deal so that people's suffering can finally end. The acting Secretary General of the United Democratic Front Party says the country's dire economic situation is forcing many families to survive on just one meal per day. John Aurelio says the two sides must form the transitional government of national unity to save lives of people who are at risk of starvation. Philip Thornaleu has more for VOA from Juba.
John Aurelio told reporters at UDA party headquarters in Juba yesterday that since mid-December, when South Sudan Central Bank and Finance Ministry allowed the local currents to float freely against the US dollar, prices for consumer goods more than double, and in some cases, quadruple.
A transport tariff, which was, for example, £1, is today more than 5 or 10. And at the same time, the salaries of the workers in the government or in the private sector is not different, it's not changed, it's not increased. So all of us, everybody who is living today in South Sudan, know that the situation is really very, very difficult.
Aurelio says for low-income earners like school teachers who receive a monthly salary of between 500 and 1,000 South Sudanese pounds, they face life and death decision.
If you have somebody who is sick and you want to take him to the hospital, you may not get a medical personnel to help with the situation. So people today are even dying out of this type of this situation.
Aurelio could not provide the names of people who actually died due to lack of food or medical care in Juba, but insists that with the delay in implementing the August peace agreement, the lives of ordinary people are deteriorating each day. Aurelio blames the rival factions of the ruling SPLM party for countries dismissed.
Now you can see the people are in need of a solution to their problems life, and the leadership are just totally loose, totally concerning about different things, about how to, divide powers. If it is to be in any other country, people would have tried to come out today, not tomorrow, with a solution. But you can see now, our friends in the SPLM are still taking their time. The people are dying, they are still taking their time.
Aurelio wants the rival factions of the SPLM party to immediately remove obstacles impeding the implementation of the peace deal and form the transitional government of national unity so that the transitional period can begin in earnest. Aurelio is calling on IGAD mediators, its international partners, and the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, which oversees implementation of the peace deal, to press the government and arm opposition to fully implement the deal. Aurelio complains that his party was blocked from taking part in the peace talks and has never been consulted during the implementation process. He says UDF should help a voice in the peace process. For VOA News, I am Philip Thornaleu in Juba.
Drivers of public service vehicles in the disputed Abyei region are on strike to protest what they call exorbitant government fees on all vehicles. Every driver is now required to pay 30 South Sudanese pounds per day. Drivers say such fees should only be imposed on vehicles traveling outside Abyei town. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Wau.
Dozens of passengers who came to the bus park in Abyei who were planning to travel to areas like Anet and Agok within the Abyei administrative area remained stranded the entire day because of the driver's strike. Ayuel Tik sat at the bus station with his luggage like dozens of other passengers. He says he wants to travel from Abyei to Agog, but there are no means of transportation today.
Most of those traveling, especially from Abyei to Agog like me, are the ones most affected. We are now at the Abyei bus park, and drivers say they are striking because they were asked to pay more than 20,000 pounds as a departure fee for every car. That's why passengers are now stranded.
Drivers say they earn very little profit from carrying passengers between Abyei and neighboring areas, and to tack on another 20,000 pounds fee would eat up their profits. Striking driver Kwot Lual says he only makes short trips with passengers who pay less than 30 pounds. He says drivers have to spend a lot of money on servicing their vehicles and buying fuel, so this added fee is completely out of line.
We were surprised by the order that we are to pay 30 pounds as extra fee, and these are just cars traveling short distance within Abyei, for instance to Anet and Agok. For our passengers, we told them we have no options than to strike, since the authorities did not consult us on these charges.
Dominic Deng, Work Transport Union Chairperson, says his office was not consulted on the order for imposing departure fees.
The order came to us verbally without any written document, and it was implemented on the ground where drivers were asked to pay 30,000 pounds, and drivers utterly rejected the decision. We have nothing to do as the transport union. It is the right of the drivers to accept or object anything they see not well for them.
Abyei Executive Director Bokor Mayar says the government must initiate the charges in order to improve services at the parks and generate revenue for the area. For VOA, I am Dimo Silva, Aurelio Inwau.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, driver's strike in Abyei has stranded most commuters. That story is when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you have a nickname, and how did you get it?
I don't have a nickname.
But I remember when I was in the primary school, I was an athlete. And the way, you know, I did my hands when I was running, people were calling me Sangkwain.
A friend did a wristband for me, and on the wristband they wrote Gato, which means rich person. So from there, he decided to call me Rich King.
They call me Kochoku. I got it from work. Well, we have this coach-coachee relationship, and it's about imparting knowledge on the younger ones. So a coach is somebody who imparts knowledge. So I guess they coined this for me.
I have a nickname. It is a busy. And for my case, I dislike being idle, seated. So at least even if when I'm at home, I try to find something that can make me busy.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The UN Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in Sudan says there have been more aerial bombardments of civilians in the Jebel Mara area of central Darfur on Friday. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
OCHA spokesperson Samantha Newport in Khartoum says the situation is still extremely fluid. She says her office is still trying to determine how many people have been affected by the fighting.
As the United Nations, we are obviously concerned about any humanitarian effect it has, especially on the protection of civilians. We know that, conflicts often generate displacement. This is an area where thousands of people live. So it's obviously something that we are monitoring very closely. And above all, we are concerned about the protection of civilians, but we are ready to assist and provide humanitarian assistance as is needed.
Newport says her team is working to find out how many people are affected by the violence and get a more accurate assessment of what's happening in central Darfur. She says thousands of people live in the Jebel Mara. Newport says the geography of the area will create challenges for humanitarian workers on the ground.
You know, it's a very mountainous area. It's quite an inaccessible area. It has been, dominated by an opposition group for a very long time. And so humanitarian access is extremely restricted because of the security on the ground. So we're really just doing everything that we can and using all the resources that we have to see, what is needed in terms of humanitarian assistance.
Over 300,000 people have died in Darfur since the fighting there erupted in 2003 between the government and rebel groups. The United Nations estimates at least 2.5 million people have been displaced in Darfur, Nuba Mountains, and southern Kordofan since the fighting began. Sudan President Omar al-Bashir extended a ceasefire at the beginning of the month between government and rebels in the area. He also called on the rebels to join what he calls a national dialogue to resolve the long-simmering conflict in the Darfur region. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
We now move to Nigeria, where President Muhammad Buhari says corruption has hurt the military's ability to fight the Boko Haram insurgents. His comment comes as a number of former government officials face corruption-related charges. But some analysts say there is more to Nigeria's struggle to defeat the Islamist insurgent than corruption. Chris Steins reports from Lagos.
Information Minister Lai Mohammed says officials in former President Goodluck Jonathan's administration squandered billions of dollars meant to fight terrorism. He says money meant to help the beleaguered Nigerian army fight the Boko Haram insurgency in the country's northeast was instead spent on other things, like helping Mr. Jonathan win re-election.
It's clear that that money was meant to fight terrorism. It was not used to fight terrorism.
Buhari won office in Nigeria last year on promises to fight corruption and to defeat Boko Haram. In recent months, corruption-related charges have been announced against a number of former Jonathan officials. The ex-National Security Advisor, Sambo Dasuki, is accused of awarding over $2 billion in fictitious military contracts. He denies the charges. In years past, Boko Haram militants were often able to outgun Nigeria's military. At the start of last year, the insurgents controlled territory in the northeast equal to the size of Belgium. They lost most of it to a military offensive later in the year. But Jan St. Pierre of the Berlin-based Mosicon security firm says the military's failures against the group cannot be entirely chalked up to embezzlement.
The corruption part is indeed very true. Is it as large as to make it the sort of Dasuki, the kingpin of it all, and to make it the core reason why the Nigerian army has so many problems fighting Boko Haram? I think that's exaggerated, and I think that's more of the PR aspect.
Rather, St. Pierre blamed an inflexible command that used outdated tactics against the insurgent group. Nigeria's government announced last month that it had defeated the group, but acknowledged the militants would still be able to carry out attacks on soft targets like marketplaces and bus stations. Chris Stein for VOA News, Lagos.
And now for some good news. A young South Sudanese woman is the winner of Talent Search Season 4. 24-year-old singer Sara Sabrina became the first female to win the competition last night. Judges invite viewers to vote for their favorite performers who advance in the competition. As Mungume Dev's Rokaringe reports for VOA from Juba, organizers believe the three-man contest gives a platform to artists to become national stars.
Of children who are looked after by the children's charity, Confident Children Out of Conflict, entertained the crowd with the song Amazing Grace during the Talent Search finale. Minutes later, the seven finalists were called to the stage to perform one last song. Sara Sabrina wore the crowd as she performed Vrindrela by South African music legend Brenda Fassie. Sabrina, who holds a master's degree in communications, says she will now concentrate on her music.
It's like a stepping stone for me. So it gives me the ability to go out there. At first I was a bit afraid, but if people vote, because people voted for me, those people believed in me. So it gives me that confidence to go out there.
Sabrina says, though she started singing at the age of 4 in her local church, this was her first time to perform before a large crowd. She was awarded with 15,000 South Sudanese pounds and a motorcycle for winning this edition of Talent Search. Sabrina says she will use her prize money to buy musical instruments. Second run-up, Emmanuel Joseph received a standing ovation after performing Alkiba's Mwana.
For me, I just came here for talent, but now I awarded with 5,000. Thanks God for that. Anything I get is enough for me. I think from here, I'll go transit to music industry, and I'm sure I'll make my fans happy and happy all of the time.
Music promoter and judge Bon Sultan, also known as Triple X, says Joseph's performance was excellent. He says he was impressed by how Joseph has developed his talent since joining the competition 3 months ago. Bol Sultan says judges are looking for a lot more than a good singer when they select a winner out of the 27 contestants.
To the vocal, the stage performance, and engaging the audience, and plus that, we also look into the reports of the faculty of the training discipline.
Fans also get to help choose the winner by sending in SMS messages to vote for their favorite singer. Organizers believe the grand finale will inspire many other young South Sudanese to take part in the contest. 20-year-old Nelson Imule is determined to be a contestant next year.
You know, now, because of this, I'm now feeling that South Sudanese, we are now growing in talent. I'm sure next time I will be even among the talent search runner-up.
Besides the prize money, winners are also given recording contracts. The competition is organized by Talent 5 and the South Sudan Artists Association. For VOA News, I am Mugume Debserwa Karinji in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. Officials in Budwe State's Tambora County are investigating the loss of some 380,000 South Sudanese pounds. That's about $20,500, which was supposed to pay the salaries of local civil servants, including teachers and nurses and government officials. Officials say unidentified gunmen attacked an ambulance that was carrying the money between Badio and Biki River along the Yambio Tambora Road yesterday. Local government inspector Thomas Frederick says the crew carrying that money was ambushed this morning after leaving Yambio. Frederick says they met with an armed gang on the road who forced the driver and all the passengers to get out of the ambulance and hand over the bag with the money for Tambora County employees. Frederick says security operatives are questioning the county cashiers who transported the money. Many civil servants are questioning whether the ambush actually happened. A South Sudanese opposition party is calling on the government and armed opposition to implement the peace agreement signed in August so that the suffering of the people of South Sudan can finally end. John Aurelio, acting Secretary General of the United Democratic Front Party, says the country's dire economic situation caused by the conflict is forcing many poor families to survive on just one meal per day. Aurelio says the two sides must get on with forming the transitional government of national unity so that lives can be saved in South Sudan. Aurelio said yesterday that since mid-December, when South Sudan's central bank and the country's finance ministry allowed the local currency to float freely against the United States dollar, prices for consumer goods more than doubled and in some cases even quadrupled. Drivers of public transportation vehicles in the disputed Abyei region are waging a sit-down strike today to protest what they call exorbitant government fees on all vehicles. Every driver is now required to pay 30 South Sudanese pounds per day. Drivers say such fees should only be imposed on vehicles that travel outside Abyei territory. Dozens of passengers who came to the bus park in Abyei today, who were planning to travel to areas like Anet and Agak within the Abyei administrative area, remained stranded the entire day because of the driver's strike. Ayuel Thick says, like dozens of other passengers, he wants to travel from Abyei to Agak, but said there are no means of transportation. Drivers say they earn very little profit, and to add on a 20 South Sudanese pound fee would only eat up all of their profits. And finally, a young South Sudanese woman is the winner of Talent Search Season 4 in South Sudan. 24-year-old singer Sarah Sobrino last night became the first female to win the local competition. Judges invite viewers to vote for their favorite performers, who then advance in the competition, which lasts 3 months. Organizers believe the contest gives a platform to artists to mature and finally become national stars. Sobrino says she plans to concentrate on her music career. She wins a recording contract and money from the organization that sponsors the event. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
And that's the end of our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song, a remix of Kalaya Bwingi by Werason.
Encore une fois, Bacardi Werason, toute l'Afrique, tu le sais.
Thank you, my friend Peter. Yeah.
Bon week-end et bon séjour à tous les fanatiques de Werason partout dans le monde. Je vous aime, bisous, yeah. Formateur de boss, Didi Kinwani.
C'est quoi, hé, hé, ne me laisse pas tomber dans les pleurs. Tu me fais mal, reviens, j'ai mal au cœur. Je sais pas toi, et moi je reste seul. Accorde-moi une chance, une faveur, je te veux pour la vie. Si on s'aime, c'est pour la vie. Tu m'as dit que je serai ton homme pour la vie. J'en ai marre de faire le tour de la vie, de te courir après. Reviens dans ma vie.
Akidae.
Garde vite, maison mère, tout est bon, tu le sais.
Chora Lula, Cyril Kina.
Kapembe.
We have been listening to Were a Son with a remix of his song Kalaya Bwingi. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Thank you for allowing us into your homes and cars. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.